Welcome once again, Medical Education's podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, and I have to admit this week feels a little bit like Dutch week to me. I've spent a lot of time speaking with colleagues from a number of places in the Netherlands, and at the same time, the rain here in Vancouver reminds me of the Dutch saying I heard a few years ago that if you can't control the water, you don't deserve the land. We're slowly being flooded away, it seems, but the reason I thought of that is I have the pleasure this morning of speaking with Karen Stehers-Jaher, who is scientific researcher at Erasmus University Medical Center and has a paper coming out in the June issue of Medical Education entitled Ethnic Disparities in Undergraduate Preclinical and Clinical Training. Welcome, Karen, to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you for providing us the opportunity to advertise our work and to convince potential readers to read our paper.
I don't think it'll take a lot of convincing, but I'm glad to have the chance to talk about it. For those who don't know, Karen's been doing some very interesting research around diversity issues and ethnic disparities, as the title of the paper that I just mentioned implies, and deserves some congratulations because I understand you've just submitted your PhD dissertation and are waiting for feedback in the anticipation of defending that later this fall. So well done, first and foremost.
Thank you very much.
This is obviously a big issue, and I think the recent years has seen a lot more conversation about social accountability and globalization and any number of other things that have put a lot of emphasis on fairness and differences between groups and disparities between individuals coming from different backgrounds or different cultures. It's a politically sensitive issue as well, obviously. So what led you to jump into this hot area?
Yeah, Kevin, you are right that in recent decades, student populations in medical schools in Western societies have become more diverse with respect to ethnicity and social background. And the same applies for our medical school. For example, currently about 30% of our first-year students have a non-Dutch background. And we wondered whether students from these non-traditional backgrounds have similar chances of success in medical school as students from more traditional backgrounds. Because we had the feeling that although in the first year there were many non-Dutch students, and later on they somehow seemed to disappear. So we thought that if students from particular groups are more likely to fail than other students, it would be important to know why and when they are at risk, and subsequently what medical schools can do to reduce the risk of failure for these students.
And just for the sake of setting some of the context, 30% is a big number for a relatively small country. Is there a proactive effort to try to make sure that students of non-Dutch backgrounds get into the Dutch medical schools, or is that just the chance result from a diverse population?
It's a chance result from a diverse population, and especially in the Rotterdam area, which is one of the largest cities in the Netherlands. That means there's a lot of diversity in the city as well, so it's representative of our city.
Great, okay.
So there are parts of the Netherlands with less non-Dutch students.
Right, and so a particularly important topic for you in Rotterdam then. So these individuals have historically demonstrated difficulty academically. Are they typically individuals who have grown up in Rotterdam from a non-Dutch ancestry, or are they generally new immigrants?
It's a combination of both, actually. So I think most of them are what we call a second generation. So their parents were born outside of the Netherlands and they themselves were born in the Netherlands. But it's also about 40% who are first-generation immigrants.
Right, okay. And you've been tracking a very large number of these individuals. The paper that is coming out in June, if I am reading the numbers right, had over 1,600 Dutch students and almost 700 non-Dutch students over the six-year period. Just again, so I fully understand the context, has the proportion, about 30%, you said, stayed reasonably constant over time?
Yes. For the last 6 years, we included about six cohorts in this study. And yeah, it was quite constant over that period of time. Yes.
Okay. And so what did you do, or what were you tracking for these individuals in an effort to determine why differences might arise?
What we did is we had a longitudinal design and we checked their performance in year one and in their preclinical and the clinical courses. So we wanted to track their performance over time. And we also tried to explain any differences in performance by including confounders and additional socio-demographic variables in our study.
Is it still true that students get into your institution largely based on admissions lottery?
It's a combination of
Combination, yeah.
of lottery and local selection procedure. Yes.
Okay, and so what sort of selection procedures would these individuals have to pass through then?
This local selection procedure is a combination of a list of extracurricular activities that they did before they entered medical school and a combination of cognitive tests. So, and these are described in more details in the papers by Louise Erlings.
Okay. These are individuals in both groups who have
Yes.
met the same standards with respect
Yes.
to getting entry into the program, and once they're in, you've made a division between the pre-clerkship stuff and the clerkship stuff, and I presume, like in most places, the pre-clerkship phase in Rotterdam is heavily classroom-oriented, and it's a PBL program, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we don't have a PBL, but we have an integrated theme-oriented curriculum. So it's
Okay.
all centered around the themes.
Okay. And so where did differences start showing up between the different
Actually,
subgroups?
what was really interesting was that we found that for some of the ethnic subgroups, because we divided them into different subgroups, so we expanded beyond the traditional white, non-white comparison. We found that certain groups, the students with an Asian or a Surinamese-Antillean background, they had already trouble starting from the first year, while the other groups only achieved lower clinical grades. So that was a really important finding of our study.
So different groups started showing differences at different points in time, which I
That's
suppose could be anticipated, suggests that the issues may be multifaceted and may differ across different subgroups. And so have you, with your data, been able to identify particular strategies or particular issues that seem to indicate where difficulties begin to arise for different populations?
Now, what we found that in the preclinical course, especially students with a non-Dutch pre-university education seem to have trouble with succeeding in the course. So that's an issue that we really would like to address in the future. So to better prepare these students for our medical course or provide them extra support. But for the clinical course, we have considered several explanations for and the cause for lower clinical grades, but really further research is required to really find the main cause.
What explanations are you considering, and which ones do you think most promising, even though I do appreciate I'm asking you to speculate a little bit?
Okay, some speculation. Now, a first possibility is that somehow these non-Dutch students are less well prepared for the clinical course despite receiving the same preclinical training. So that's one option that we would like to research further. Another thing is that it might be due to differences in communication styles or something that's called stereotype threat. But we actually think that another important thing is the subjective rating. So the more subjective rating in the clinical course might lead to some kind of examiner bias. That's actually that we something that we are afraid might happen.
Right, so potentially self-fulfilling, you think, in that some individuals might anticipate a difference, so their judgments are biased.
Yes.
Yeah. Some of those things are imaginably easier to overcome than others. You mentioned a few issues across groups about preparation and potentially differences in just one's approach to communication. Despite the fact that you don't feel like you have a complete answer just yet, what sorts of things are you working on to try to improve the situation?
There are several things that we are thinking about. We first would like to explore whether they indeed are performing less well on the communication part of the preclinical course, so that we might include some extra training for them in the preclinical course. So that might be one step. Other things are also to at least make students and staff more aware of cultural bias and of cultural differences. So, for example, cultural competency training. And another thing we're actually doing right now is to make assessment in the clinical course less subjective, or at least to include different types of assessments in the clinical course, so more objective types of assessments.
Which I imagine each of those things will not only be a beneficial intervention, but sounds like they might also help you start to tease apart some of the potential explanations for why the differences are arising.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's
Yeah.
actually what we would like to do as a follow-up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I probably should have paused on the phrase stereotype threat. I imagine that's a phrase that many of our listeners won't be familiar with. Would you mind elaborating on that one a little bit?
Yeah, no problem. I can imagine. I hadn't heard of it myself as well. before I read it in the literature in trying to explain the difference we found. But stereotype refers to the fact that underperformance in ethnic groups can be caused by increased anxiety that arises in response to the prospect of being negatively stereotyped. So, as you are afraid to be negatively stereotyped, you already feel afraid, and by that, raised anxiety, you perform less well. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's some very interesting research demonstrating those tendencies and suggesting some interventions that even giving people the opportunity to attribute their anxiety to things like stereotype threat seems to take away some performance differences. So that was one of the things that I was quite intrigued by in your paper, and would just refer any listeners who are interested to the work so they can find some references to that literature.
What we really would like to know is that there is some evidence of stereotype threat found by the work of Catherine Wolfe. But what we would like to explore is also if stereotype is more prominent in the clinical course than in the preclinical course because of the more subjective grading that might lead to an increased stereotype threat. I'm interested in that.
Right. Do you have any way of noting, given that some groups the difference showed up pre-clerkship and others it showed up more in the clinical years, would you have predicted that things like stereotype threat or the subjective biases would have been greater in some of these groups relative to others? And so would have been more likely only to show up when you got to that clerkship phase?
Yes, we think so, especially because we found that some of the groups only received lower grades in the clinical course, even while they had maybe even a better performance in the preclinical course. So that's why we think that might be a big issue there. And we're also trying to set up some experimental studies where we want to investigate the effect of this examiner bias. So you can think of kind of experimental study where you can change names in the transcriptions of the OSCE or something like that, or so those things that we're also considering. So that might be interesting for the readers as well.
That would be interesting. I'm thrilled to hear that you're taking this head on, and it sounds like there are multifaceted explanations and that you're considering a variety of options to try to support these students and make sure that they get through at the same rate. We'll definitely look forward to seeing where this leads, and best of luck with your PhD defense. I'll look forward to hearing how it went and look forward to seeing the follow-up work that you described.
Thank you very much for providing the opportunity.
Thank you. I'll just remind our listeners before we close that I've been speaking with Karen Stejos-Jager from Erasmus University in the Netherlands, and the paper that we've been discussing is going to be published in the June issue of Medical Education 2012, entitled Ethnic Disparities in Undergraduate Preclinical and Clinical Training. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.